private study on
what we should be teaching our children.
Any questions or comments on anything we've gone over yet so far? As I said last week, we're going to be studying tonight a question that we need to be asking ourselves, but also one that we really need to impress on our children. And that is your religion yours? And we really need to teach them and impress upon them that they really need to make sure that their faith, everything they believe about God, needs to be something that they learn and that they understand. It comes from their convictions. We're really going to press upon that. We're going to study this tonight and also next week. So it's a two-part lesson with this. So begin with that. When thinking about religion, religion has to do with faith in God. Religion has to do with the love that we have for God. It has to do with the hope of eternal life. As I mentioned, it has to do with your convictions. Convictions are lacking a lot of times. It also has to do with moral standards. So this umbrella of religion covers not just these things, but these things for sure. If you think about it, our religion has a tremendous bearing on our lives. Think about everything in your life that your religion affects. It affects what we do on the Lord's Day. And it should affect every other day of the week as well. You know, religion, some things that are because of your religion. Again, because of what we believe, we already have plans for Sunday, don't we? That's kind of already set. And everything else revolves around that. For those who do not have any religion, Sunday's a free day for them. And so you see the contrast there. So that's one way it affects our life, our religion does. Our religion influences the places we go. And it influences the places we don't go. It influences the things that we say, the things we choose not to say, the things we choose to do, the things we choose not to do, the things we watch, the things we don't watch. It influences the things that you spend your time doing. It also influences the choices you make that you don't want to waste your time doing certain things as well. It influences the friends that we have. It also influences the friends that we have that we spend less time with for certain reasons. It influences how you value life. It influences your priorities. It influences your value of work, what you think about playtime, about recreation. It dictates how you raise your kids. Of course, that's our study to raise our what to teach our kids. It dictates or influences your outlook on the world and how you perceive those in the world and the world in general. It influences your outlook on government and what it should do and its roles. And it also influences our opinions of social issues as well. So, as you can see, the religion that you have, and most of us were taught those things, it influences every aspect of everything that we do. It's something we can't get away from. A lot of people who don't like Christianity or religion, they'll always say, well, why do you have to involve that in my life? Well, that is our life. We have to. It is our life. As we mentioned in last week's lesson, we're Christians. That's what we are. It's who we are. And so it affects every part of our life. Everyone's religion is founded upon a certain basis, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about. We want to make, again, this is a two-part study, and we're going to ask the question again, is your religion really yours? And also, again, we need to impress that upon our kids. In other words, what basis is your religion founded? Why do you believe what you believe? Do you have convictions toward those things? And why? Are those your beliefs? Are they someone else's beliefs? And that's some of the stuff we're going to cover. In this first lesson, we're going to look at some negative things, and next week's lesson, we're going to look at some more positive things. But tonight, some wrong things upon which some people's religion is based. So we're going to learn some things tonight to teach our kids. This is what your religion or your faith should not be based upon. And really press that upon them. The first thing, a lot of people, the religion is organization. Okay? And it should not be in any way. Many people's religion is organizational because they act and believe as their church would have them to act and believe. It's not something they personally feel. This is where I go. This is my faith, whether it's a denomination or an individual congregation. This is what we believe here. So I believe that because they believe that there. That's not the way that we should be. Again, they believe because that's how that congregation or church believes, not as they discovered for themselves from the Bible, which is what they should have been doing, what we should be doing. you think of any moral issue, whether it be homosexuality and so forth, that you can think of. A lot of people's faith, religion, is based upon wherever they attend church at. What do we believe here? Do they accept homosexuality? If their church does, a lot of times they do. Because, not because they personally have found out from the Word of God whether they should or not, but this is what these people who I attend with believe, and so that's what we believe. Rather than that's what I believe, this is what we believe. And we need to teach our children that that's not the way to be. In the realm of doctrine, again, it's whatever their church teaches to a lot of people. And we don't need to be that way. For example, if their church baptizes infants, that's what they hold to. That's what we do here. If they hold to a sinner's prayer, that's what we believe. That's what we hold to. Instrumental music in worship. Choirs. We don't observe the Lord's Supper on Sunday. We don't do that where I go. So they choose not to do those things. Women preachers. Name the whatever category or whatever the subject may be. The main point is they believe it not because they do, but because where they go does. And that's what they've been taught. And that's what they accept. They never stop to ask, why am I doing this? Why are we doing this? They never stop to ask that question. We should encourage our kids to ask questions. If you don't ask questions, how do you learn? It's okay to question your beliefs. That makes you go here to find the answers. If you don't question it, you just go along with everything. And that's the main problem of a lot of religions. People don't question why they believe what they believe. They were taught that way, and that's the way it must be. We should question what we believe, but go here for the answers and teach our kids that. Ask yourself, why are you doing what you do? If another says to them, you shouldn't be doing that, a lot of times they'll say, well, my church teaches it, and so that's what I'm a member of, and so that's what we do. Sometimes they'll say, if you can get my church to change, then I'll change. Again, their belief's not based on what they believe. It's based on the group that they attend with, what they believe. Sometimes even their presence for worship might be based upon they're required to be there. Not that they want to be, but we should be here because we want to be here, not because we're expected to be or because or any other reason. We should want to be here, and that's why we're here this evening. But it must be based on our own convictions, our own real love that we have for God. Those same people who follow along with whatever congregation they're going to, oftentimes, down the road, they may change their denomination. Or they may stay within the same denomination but go to a different congregation. And as we know, different congregations, even though of the same faith, sometimes believe different things. So when they change congregations, they move. Now they're believing what? What they used to believe or the new stuff? Probably the new stuff. But again, it's not based on what they know. It's wherever they're going to. If they change three times, they'll adapt to whatever that situation is. If it has different doctrines, they'll just adopt those doctrines. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We have to have convictions based on what we know, not on some organization. Again, the whole basis of the religion is organizational. Some churches seek to convert people to their own organization. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses seek to convert people to their doctrine. Okay? They're not converting people to Christ. They're converting people to their doctrine. And it's nothing we need to stress to our kids. When they obey here, they're not obeying, yes, they're obeying certain doctrines, but you're obeying Christ in all things, not a man-made doctrine. It's found in here. Questions or comments so far? Again, this is stuff that you shouldn't have it based upon. If you'll turn to John chapter 20, going along with that, not being converted to doctrine, but rather to the Lord, the New Testament converts people to the Lord. It's personal. John chapter 20, again, it requires a personal belief in the personal being of Jesus. Chapter 20, and let's read verses 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. It says here, these are written so that you, not an organization, but you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. 1 John chapter 1. Again, again, impress on our kids that their religion needs to be personal. Chapter 1 of 1 John, first four verses. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So again, this is a personal relationship that we each must have. It requires a personal confession with one's own mouth. Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. This is something that everyone in this room has to do. It's an individual thing. Teach to our kids. Your faith, your eternal destiny, everything is based on what you do, what you believe, not what others. Not some organization. It's something you've got to take part of and be active with. It includes a personal acceptance, again, of the personal atonement that Christ did for our personal sins. The atonement is very broad in scope, but again, we have to apply it individually to ourselves, or it's no benefit. Turn to Acts chapter 2. And what we're going to notice here is this terminology, every one of you. It's individual. Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 26, this same terminology. God, having raised up His servant, sent Him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. It's personal. You won't be given account for anybody else other than yourself. But again, unless we make it personal, it's of no value to me. It's of no value to you. It's no value to our children. Questions or comments about that? The second thing is a lot of people's religion, if it's not based on organization, a lot of times it's founded on family. For some, when they believe and practice in religion, it's built around a family loyalty sometimes. It's like you said in politics in some places, ever since the Civil War, the Joneses and Smiths clan have always voted Democrat. Just an example. Well, the Smiths have always voted Democrat. Ever since the Civil War, my family's always voted Democrat. That's what we do. Why? Because that's what my great-great-granddaddy did. And he's passed it on. That's what we all do. You've heard the term yellow dog Democrats, meaning if they ran a yellow dog on the ticket, that's who they're voting for. That's what the term means on that. Similarly, since great-great-granddaddy joined such-and-such church, all the Joneses or the Smiths claim they belong to that congregation. Because that's what my family did. And that's what I was taught, and that's how I do it. Well, that's not going to get you into heaven. That's not personal. You have to make it your own. That's not the way to do it. Sometimes in the church, there are families whose religion is based on one member of the family. It may be a father or a mother or some other strong relative. The problem with that is everything is based on the faith and the love and the God of that one strong person. It's not based on what I believe or what you believe. It's on some other relative that was some time back. That one person often does the studying for everyone. When they have a question or need help on a Bible lesson, not that that's a bad thing. They should have questions. When they have some spiritual problem, they go to that one member. And that's good to get their advice. But is your advice coming from them because it's from them and you trust them? What if they got this wrong? So, always check it. What did the Bereans do? Impress that on our kids. I often tell my boys, I said, when I tell you something about the Bible, don't take my word for it. You make sure it's in here. I can be wrong. We need to tell our kids that. We can be wrong. And they didn't call us on that if we are.
kind of twofold thing.
Mm-hmm.
About that, the person based on family religion, the truth is taught to, it's hard to accept because you have to accept the alternative then. What these years that the parents had believed
right.
was wrong, and their condition when they die is one. The other than when temptations come, if you're there because of the faith of your father, mother, whatever, that's not going to save you in temptation. Well, then, because their growth and if, as far as their faith, they will not eat.
Yeah.
It's easy for apostasy then to take into that individual because they have not fought the battle or strengthened themselves as they should.
And with that, you know, some issues are tough. And if you're basing it on what you were taught, not what you learned, but what you were taught, you're not going to fully understand it if you didn't learn it yourself. And if there's a little twist on the topic or maybe, and you don't fully understand it because you are going by what you were taught and not what you learned, then you may get it wrong too. With those, and you need to have a deeper understanding for those things. Would you rather go to Ray as a doctor because he went to school, or would you rather him teach somebody on his own and go to that person who didn't go to medical school? Ray learned it on his own, how to treat you. Okay, so Ray made his studies personal. He learned those things and delved into those things. And as CL just said, again, the problem with this, if you're always going to someone else rather than going to the Word, and again, nothing wrong. We need to go to each other because some of us are more knowledgeable than others, have more wisdom and so forth. But always check it here. The person we go to is not the final verdict. This is here. But the problem is if you're always doing that, again, you don't have your own religion. Often, shortly after people leave home, go to college, is kind of your mission. They go to college or so forth. Sometimes they become unfaithful. Because the religion was not their own. It was their mom's. It was their dad's. It was their brothers and sisters who they attended with. But it was not their own. And so they often go off to school and they fall away because there's no conviction there. Their life was based on the convictions of others and not their own. And why? It's because they didn't have their own religion. They didn't have their own faith, their own convictions. Again, their religion was founded upon the father or their mother, and they have no root themselves. Turn to chapter Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 and verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away, as CL was mentioning there. They have no root. We need to make sure that our kids have their own root, and that's the Word of God. It's not us. It's the Word of God. If they go through their whole lives and go off to college and it's been mom and dad, then we need to correct that. We need to correct that. If there's a problem in the church, as is often the case, who's going to make, or who do these young people follow? It's who they have trust in rather than the Word of God. They'll not be capable of making decisions for themselves because, again, the religion's not theirs. It's based on what someone else taught them, someone else's convictions. They've simply adopted the religion of their parents. And as I mentioned, what if mom and dad were wrong? What if they were right and they simply still adopted the religion of their parents and never made it their own? It's not going to last. Questions or comments about that? Again, some have adopted the religion of their husband or their wife. And again, they've not made the religion their own. It's not just a mother-father thing. It could be from a husband or wife. And they've not made the religion their own. There's a story told of an elder's wife. After he passed away, that the wife became unfaithful. And those who knew her thought back to the last days and how she seemed kind of disjointed and she didn't seem to have a genuine faith or love. And after the husband died, she only attended services because her husband had insisted upon it, and then she quit coming. That religion was never hers. That was her husband's. There's also a problem of third-generation Christians. Imagine a young couple is converted out of denominationalism. Okay, so they've been whatever faith for the longest time. And they get converted out of that. and they suffer persecution. They have to stand for the truth. Their family backs out on them. Their friends back out on them. But they're young, and they have a strong new faith in the truth, and they hold to it. And they're shunned by their friends and by their family, and they have their own children, obviously. Their children, who they pass their faith on to, have the religion sort of handed to them. They didn't go through that persecution and face those things. It was taught to them. It was the truth. But it was handed to them. They didn't have to go through those things. As you can see, they're going to be weaker than their parents because it's not their religion. They didn't suffer those things personally. Well, what about their kids now, that third generation, who definitely didn't get any more persecution? And now they're surrounded by a congregation where everyone teaches the truth and so forth. They're probably going to be weaker because, again, they've not bought the truth themselves. Their grandparents bought the truth, and they suffered for the truth. But theirs was kind of handed to them. Unless they do what? Study for their own and make it their own and realizing, I believe this not because granddad did, not because mom did, but I believe it because it's the truth. And God said it, and here it is. And that's why I believe it. So they got to make it their own. Turn over to Judges chapter 2. Again, often that third generation of descendants is very weak in faith. I think I read this scripture last week. Judges chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. It says here, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years, and they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And all that generation also gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were found around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. So again, this third generation, or second generation, hadn't suffered, hadn't gone through, hadn't experienced the same stuff. And in turn, also didn't make the religion their own. We got to make sure that our children understand that's not the way to do it. They'll fall away. More than likely, they'll fall away. We've got to teach them that. In the religion of Christ, again, one must follow the Lord himself and not family. We know this. If one's religion is based upon family, it's worthless. Someone read Matthew 10, verses 37 and 38.
He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me after me is not worthy of me.
A lot of times when I think about that verse, and maybe you do too, I think of someone who does not know the truth, and they're in some denomination, and they get taught the truth, and it kind of teaches that if you don't obey that new truth that you just learned, then you're loving your father and mother more. But after this study, I can kind of see too that if you're loving your parents more than you love God's word, in other words, you trust them more, then you may not delve into this as you need to. Well, mom and dad's right. They wouldn't steer me the wrong way. And so, again, as I always tell my kids, trust me, but don't trust me. But make sure that I'm right. I can be wrong in these things. Okay? Questions about that?
Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added to it.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that all the time. Every morning, a man will like the Lord to wake it up.
Another thing with this third generation thing that I think about often, I think about Papa. You know, 11 children taught. See, where would you be at tonight if he didn't teach you the truth?
We'd be here.
What if he was taught the truth and made it his own, but you didn't? Or what if he obeyed it but didn't make it his own? You know, can't answer that question. You know, you may have been taught in a different faith And you may be there tonight, or you may be at home.
When you look there, it always stood out in my mind. If mom and dad hadn't learned the truth, they would have been lost because they'd been Gnosticism. Therefore, they treasured the truth more than their children did, because we was never that denomination exposed as they were. It's too like we were brought up in the church, as you said, those battles. But the very thing that you said happened at that mom and dad.
Yeah.
The family turned against him. People would come up and they'd talk to him. But he realized that the Lord God had taught him the truth where he would have been. Therefore, he treasured that greatly.
Mm-hmm.
He made it his own.
And he experienced those things, and yes, you can still make it your own, but you've not been persecuted like that, as far as the degree was, and which helps strengthen his.
But he made it on because he stood for the truth and taught people. Today, we don't, as those people did, we don't do that.
Right.
Because if it did, then we are no persecution, then that faith would become our own.
Right.
So through the trial, persecution we go through becomes strength. And we're not exposed.
That's another lesson. If we're not being persecuted,
yeah, should tell us something about our lives.
Yeah, because it sure would make us stronger, or we'd have to make a choice, wouldn't we, one way or the other. But then you look at too, if he hadn't had his own religion and mammon, and hadn't taught the kids, think of all the lives that have been touched since then through marriages and other kids. Ray, where'd you be at tonight? If June hadn't been taught, then Judy. Married you, so forth. So think about it. It's a sobering thought. Where would you be at? And I'm familiar with that family, so it's easy for me to say. But think about how you were taught, who taught you, and who taught them, and what if that person didn't make the religion their own, and so forth. And so it's a sobering thought on those things. Any other comments about that? Another way we talked about. Some people's religion is because of organization, some is because of family, and some is based on social relationships. They hold to whatever they do on the basis of personal loyalty. It might be a loyalty to, again, it doesn't have to be a false religion, it could be the truth. But their loyalty is to the person who converted them sometimes, or it's a loyalty to the preacher or some role model that they look to. And again, if they have a question about doctrine, they go to them. Nothing wrong with that. But is it here? Because again, that can be wrong. So make sure that you don't put too much trust or stock into men, regardless of how you hold them. All the religion leans upon the faith, hope, and love, again, of that person. It's not based on their own hope. It's not based on their own love. It's based on the hope and love of that other person. People build friendships, and they build social ties in the churches of which they are members. They follow outward requirements because they don't want fellow members to think unfavorably of them. Well, I want people to like me, and I don't want them to dislike me. I don't want them to think less of me, and so I'll do these things. That's not based on conviction. If I don't do right, they'll notice. I want them to admire me. I want them to appreciate me, and so forth. Churches sometimes use social ties to pressure people into submission. We hear about a lot in cults that will use social pressure to bring members into subjection to the cult. Or they'll establish a strong friendship and a social tie to a new convert. And then later, that's when guilt trips come and they cause members to walk the line and so forth. There's no love there. Some people, through social pressures, are half converted. A half converted person is one who's been converted on a few doctrinal points. I believe this, I believe that, I'm converted to this or that, but not the whole of the New Testament of Christ. Well, I believe this, but not that. But getting back, it still doesn't need to be whatever congregation or faith you're of. It should be from here. And if it's here, it's here, and I believe it. They may have obeyed a few steps or all the steps of the gospel, and they're part of a group, but they've never been fully converted to the Lord. They've never been fully converted to his doctrine. They've never made it their own. And our kids need to be taught that. All their works are done because they follow men and not out of a true love and devotion to the Lord. And I'll skip these verses here for that. But the main point is they don't go back to the Word to find the answers. It's based on what these, they've been taught by other men. Let's go read, John 5, verse 44, though.
Greg, you kept talking about making the faith your own personal faith.
Yes.
I was thinking about 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. It says there, but to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. That'd be your faith right there with meekness and fear. Amen. So like you say, you've got to make it personal.
Yeah. And we'll cover that verse next week. So it's a very good verse. Good point. That's on our for next time as well. John 5 and verse 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Many will never find the proper faith because of their undue regard they have for fellow men. They put too much trust in their fellow men, again, rather than the Word of God. And again, I can't press it enough. We can all be wrong. We can all be wrong. Always question. Always go here. When you find the truth, hold to it. Study more so you can show others, as Blaine just read right there for us. And then we'll finish with, again, just asking yourself that question. What about you? You know, is your religion yours? And are you impressing it onto your children well enough so that they will press it onto their children? And keep that cycle going. Again, we can't depend on someone else's faith or conviction, their hope, their love, whatever. It's got to be our own. We won't read it, but 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 talks about a personal examination that each of us must have for ourselves. And again, ask that question regarding religion. Is the faith that I have, is it really my faith? Is it my mom's faith? Is it my dad's faith? And the faith my kids are learning, is it theirs? Or is it just mine that I'm handing to them? Questions or comments? Next week we'll talk about this again. We'll do it from a positive standpoint.